Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
A singer in a smoky room, the smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile they can share the night, it goes on.
Morning, 610 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we are like connected with Rick Scott's folks, but we are not having the senator connect in, and so John is working on it right now to try to figure out what's going on. I'm not quite sure why we are not connecting with him, but we're trying, so I apologize for that. I know y'all were expecting me to be talking with Rick Scott right now, and hopefully we will figure this out here in the meanwhile. Meanwhile, before that, we've got coming up next, we've got Wes Moreno is going to be here at 6:40. We're going to be talking about the agenda items for today. There's a lot of very interesting sort of little things on the agenda. One thing is that they're wanting to change the camping ordinance to delete the requirement that overnight is actually in the write-up. So if you're residing in a structure, if you're residing in an open space or in a tent or in a car, that would qualify as public camping. We got them, John? Okay, that's one thing they're going to change. And the median size from 6 feet to 8.5 feet for panhandling is another one. And also, we will definitely be talking with Wes Moreno about the company badges for the firefighters. Huge local story this morning. Joining us now, we have Rick Scott, our former governor and our senator from the great state of Florida. Sir, sorry about the technical issues. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So I hear maybe there's a deal in the offing. Maybe there's some Democrats willing to come over if there's a floor vote on extending the subsidies at a future date. But you were right in the thick of it. So you tell me, what's going on with the shutdown?
Well, that's what we heard yesterday. But I can tell you that we don't have there's no conversation. I mean, we have no scheduled votes for today. So that's what that was the conversation at lunch yesterday. And then our first vote today is at 5 p.m., where the Democrats want to prevent Trump from being able to destroy the drug trafficking boats off Venezuela. So I never understand why they don't want to defend our kids. I don't want my kids getting drugs. So, but I don't. That's what we're doing. There's no deal yet.
Huh? And no. And as far as like any official channels or anything that you know personally, it's all just kind of rumor at this point. We're basically where we've been the whole time. A lot of us had kind of suspected that maybe after the election on Tuesday that, you know, there might be a more of a willingness to move forward, that was the holdup. But you're saying, as far as you know, it's 41st verse, same as the first.
Yeah. I mean, what's really sort of disgusting to me is these Democrats all want to get paid. I've had a bill, no budget, no pay. And they won't support that because they want to get paid. But you have people that need food stamps. I grew up in public housing. I watched my mom struggle to put food on the table. And they don't care that people don't get paid or get food stamps. They don't care that, you know, FAA workers aren't getting paid. They don't care, Capitol Police, military. I mean, it's fascinating to me that they don't care. You know, we should have policy conversations about anything they want to have a fight over. But shutting down government, over a policy disagreement, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
You know, I think it's interesting you mentioned that. I bet for a lot of people that's the first time they knew that about you, that, you know, this super wealthy businessman grew up, you know, in very meager circumstances. And, you know, for a lot of us have that. And
she had no money, but...
But
that,
no money,
but she was tough. She said,
"Go ahead."
She said, "You're gonna make straight A's. You're gonna have a job. You're gonna go to church all the time. You're gonna be an Eagle Scout." I had a wonderful mom, but yes, she had a tough time feeding us, and but you know, you just, you know, all you do is you Yeah, that's how a lot of people grew up in this country.
Yeah.
You grew up with money. So
it, and it's a and it's a it's a memory you don't lose, and it's a motivating factor, and it's part of the beauty and the pain of capitalism is you learn from suffering a little bit how to go out and make something of yourself, and in this country like no other. The immigrants remind us of this all the time. In this country like no other, you have that opportunity. You have a bill. You said the No Budget, No Pay Act, and I'm, of course, completely on board with this. I've had some people make even stronger suggestions, like, I don't know, if the government shuts down while you're in office, maybe you shouldn't be eligible for re-election. That's probably a little bit strong, but, you know, it seems like something. It's got to hurt a lot to make the government shut down. Otherwise, why would they care?
Yeah, I mean, it's like this one Democrat says, oh, I don't want to do this. I got a mortgage. Well, guess what? People need food. They need food. People working at the FAA, they have mortgages. The military, they have mortgages.
Right.
I mean, I don't get why they're so self-centered. So this is just about their hatred of Donald Trump. They hate the fact he won a year ago yesterday. They hate all the success he's had. And, you know, so I feel sorry for people that these Democrats are hurting their lives,
you know,
right now. It's a scary time for people.
And you mentioned the military. You know, we talk about the military getting paid, but a lot of military also use benefits. You know, like, that's also true. And so, you know, you pay them on the one hand, but you don't let them have the, you know, SNAP on the other hand if they're eligible for it. That's as much a problem as anything else. So, hey, we're talking to Rick Scott, our senator from the great state of Florida. Rick, hang on for just a second for me. We'll be right back after traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you, nor delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I wanted to talk about something you mentioned a moment ago. It's something that I find myself torn on, but leaning heavily the other way, I think, from you on this. The Venezuelan drug boats. It seems to me like if there really is a justiciable action here, if it's justified to take these drug boats out, that the president should be able to present that information to the Senate Oversight Committee in private is fine. And there should be an authorization for the use of military force. And, like, I want to believe that we are saving lives by preventing fentanyl from coming here, but I also want to believe that we don't just murder people on the high seas, and that, you know, drug dealing, even drug, you know, trafficking is not a capital offense. So this really bothers me what we're doing.
Well, here's what we have had briefings. I'm on the Armed Services Committee, and we've had briefings on this, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They're bringing drugs into our country. So here's what we've done in the past. We stopped these boats. We've confiscated the drugs. And then they just go back home and they get another boat and they bring more drugs and they kill our kids. I mean, let's remember, 78,000 people died of fentanyl. 105,000 people died, I think, last year of drug overdoses. I mean, they're killing us. They're killing our kids. You know, if you take almost 80% of the pills now not bought through a pharmacy are laced with fentanyl. I lost a brother. He started with marijuana, and he ultimately became a drug addict and alcoholic, and he died that way. And so they're killing our families. And so the military knows exactly who these people are. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They're bringing drugs into our country. First off, in this country, if you kill somebody through an illegal drug, it is murder. So that's what they're doing.
So, in principle, and if the evidence is there, I agree with you. What I don't understand is why not ask Congress for a declaration, an AUMF, something other than just doing it. Because if it's as obvious as you say it is, as the president says it is, and as I tend to want to believe that it is, that should sail through. It should be easy to do.
Nah, not in this Congress. Andrew, nothing. Look, we passed the big beautiful bill. We won't pass another bill. Mm. Maybe we'll pass the National Defense Authorization Act. The Democrats are going to block everything. They have just complete hatred of Trump. If Trump's doing it, they're going to block it. You'd be so disappointed in the Senate right now. We didn't do this to Biden. Think about it. They won't let any of his U.S. attorneys in blue states go through. Not one. They won't let one. Judges, not one. We didn't do that. I mean, I worked with the Biden administration to find good judges while Biden was president that I was okay with and the Biden administration was okay with. Their approach is none, absolutely zero. They will not let one go through. Everything, I was at the White House yesterday. I mean, if I was president, I'd be frustrated. I mean, nothing. We had to completely change the nomination process. But think about how heartless the Democrats are, okay? Like, what I just told you, they would never, ever let the president do this. They don't care. They don't care to be. These are the same Democrats that kept the border open. They kept the border open. They never, ever questioned it. And how many people have been killed in this country or died because of illegals? All right, there's a lot of people here illegally want to lead their lives. Come here legally. Like, we are a welcoming country. There's a legal process to come into this country. So if you think about it, nothing up here is getting fixed. They would not let us fix it. And you'd say, oh, this is common sense. Absolutely, this stuff's common sense. But not to the Democrats. Do you think it's common sense that we pay health benefits to millionaires? That's what the Democrats want. Crazy.
I wanted to ask you, I do not pretend to know a lot about the subject. I've sort of read the reports, and I don't feel like I'm an expert on this, but I had somebody tell me that the drone ban for the Chinese drones, the DJI drones, that it's coming up, I think, in December. He says, look, I'm trying to start a business using drones. I've invested a bunch of money. All of these drones are going to become illegal unless they get grandfathered in, and there's no good alternative among American manufacturers. Is this something that you know a lot about, can do something about? Is that, I'm trying to quantify this concern because he seems very frustrated about all this.
Well, first off, you should not buy a Chinese drone. I mean, look, we have to wake up, right? We are building the Chinese military. That's what we're doing. We are building the Chinese military way of life. They are sending fentanyl to this country to kill 78,000 people a year. Should that bother you? Yeah, it's intentional. They're stealing our technology. They're killing our jobs. That's intentional, right? They're hurting our farmers. That's intentional. They're attacking our allies, whether it's Taiwan or the Philippines. That's intentional. So there are American-made drones, right? And so the only way we're going to rebuild our economy is we have to understand they have decided to be our absolute enemy, to take away all of your rights. That's what they've done. Andrew, think about this one. So 80% of the generic drugs made in this country come out of India and China, okay? 90% of the ingredients come out of China. Now, today, if they block those drugs, people will die, right? Could they block rare earth minerals, right? Well, what's the chance they're not going to block drugs? Oh, they did it and lied to us during the COVID. Then on top of that, our FDA is not doing inspections. But to the ones that are inspected, one out of every four Chinese and Indian companies selling generics is under FDA violation for safety, and the FDA is waiving it. I mean, you're putting generic drugs in your body that can harm you. The University of Indiana put out a study that you have a 54% increased chance of death or hospitalization with the Chinese or Indian drugs. It's intentional. It's intentional when China puts lead into our cinnamon to hurt our kids' brains. It's intentional when they grow garlic in sewer water, human feces, to make us sick. It's intentional. Andrew, you're darn right. I'm going to do everything I can to absolutely stop every Chinese product from coming to this country. They want to destroy my way of life, my children, my grandchildren, and yours.
Well, you have been as emphatic about that consistently over the years as I've talked to you as about any other issue that we have discussed. Rick Scott is our senator from the great state of Florida. Senator, thank you for the time this morning. Keep trying to do the best to try to get the government reopened. Of course, you know the consequences of that in our big military state and the people who are suffering without their SNAP benefits or reduced SNAP benefits and all of the rest of it. And I really appreciate the perspective this morning. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
Bye, Andrew. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. 624 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
The History of the Blues is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage.
Since 1946, the Blue Angels had been known as the Navy Flight Demonstration Team. But in December of 1973, an organizational change was made, and the Blue Angels were commissioned as the Navy Flight Demonstration Squadron. And while that may seem to be just a matter of semantics, its structure within the Navy is significant. The status and organizational importance is much greater as a squadron. And as a squadron, they have their own true commanding officer. While as a team, though they had a flight leader, they were under the command of the CO of NAS Pensacola. As a squadron, they would also have more support personnel assigned to them. Additionally, with the classification as a squadron, the maintenance crew's total responsibility was to maintain the Blue Angels planes. Under a team classification, the maintenance personnel could have been pulled at any time to other duties, which could have adversely affected the readiness of the team. As a squadron, they would have more authority and control over their activities. And the first commanding officer of the new squadron was Commander Tony Less. Another change made at the same time was the transition into new aircraft. While the F-4 Phantom was a spectacular jet, it was very expensive to maintain and fly. Its two engines guzzled fuel, and that was not a good trait in the midst of the 1973 energy crisis. So the Blue Angels switched to a slightly smaller single-engine aircraft, the McDonnell Douglas A-4 Skyhawk II. Though smaller than the Phantom, the impressive maneuverability, rate of climb, and shorter turning radius proved to be exceptional qualities for their role as demonstration aircraft. These A-4s also required far less maintenance than the Phantoms, which allowed the Blue Angels officers and crew to spend more time helping young people interested in careers in the Navy. Recruiting was one of the primary missions given for organizing the team into a squadron. The first public performance in the new Skyhawks was on May 18th at Offutt Air Force Base in Omaha, Nebraska. Among the pilots in the 1974 season was a 29-year-old captain in the Marine Corps. He flew the number 4 slot position, and his name was John Fogg. Who'd have predicted that 20 years later, he would be selected as mayor of Pensacola? I'll be back with more after this.
Need to move across town, across the country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BVB accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all the surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sins Foundation. Choose a team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com today.
The Blue Angels are known for their breathtaking aerial performances, not for saving lives. But that's just what they did. Find out how in the next chapter of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
eBay has reinvented vehicle buying. From click to curb, everything's covered. Ever try to buy a car online and end up in a parking lot with a stranger and some blind trust? That era is over. Now with Secure Purchase, eBay isn't just where you find your car. It's where you buy it, start to finish. Title, financing, registration, delivery, it's all built in. This is the modern way to buy your next ride on eBay. eBay. Things people love. Secure Purchase is powered by Caramel Dealer Services, LLC, an eBay subsidiary.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks, rent a kayak or a paddle boat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center, or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers, tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit playpensacola.com or follow social media at Play Pcola Parks. It's time to get out and play.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Your stunned silence is very reassuring.
Hey. Woo! Woo! 6:29 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. President Trump reacting to the election of Zohran Mamdani as mayor of New York City. Trump calling his victory speech angry, especially towards him. The president said he believes Mamdani should be nice to him because he said he's the one who has to approve a lot of things for the nation's largest city. Well, Pope Leo calling for deep reflection after seeing that Homeland Security agents refused to allow clergy into a Chicago area ICE facility to give detainees communion. Pope Leo told reporters this week that people's spiritual rights need to be respected.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Coming up next, we'll talk to County Administrator Wes Moreno. A couple of pretty hot issues. One is the removal of all of the firefighter patches from all of the trucks in Escambia County for reasons that we still do not understand. We'll definitely talk about that with Wes coming up next. Try to get some answers and explanation.
Gianluca, the Trump administration announcing it's going to cut air traffic by 10% at 40 of the nation's busiest airports to reduce pressure on air traffic controllers who are working without pay because of the government shutdown.
And our heart, you know, goes out to those who will have flights disrupted. But again, they want to make sure that the FAA team and their DOT team, when they fly, they are going to make it to their destination safely because we've done our work.
That is Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy. A majority of Supreme Court justices seem skeptical about the legality of President Trump's tariffs. Chief Justice John Roberts.
Well, who pays the tariffs? If a tariff is imposed on automobiles, who pays them?
Now, the administration argues the tariffs aren't being used as a revenue raiser requiring congressional approval. An opinion isn't expected for several weeks. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 64 degrees with cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. An investigation continuing into a shooting at a local Whataburger this week. Escambia County investigators say that two people were taken to the hospital after a shooting at this location on Pensacola Boulevard and Boone Street Tuesday. Officials say there were drugs found at the scene.
We're trying to, you know, piece that backwards and try to figure out why they were there and who they were meeting.
And that is Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. He tells Channel 3 the incident is being investigated as a potential homicide. There's no update yet on the victim's condition. So far, no suspect information has been released. Well, you might need to dig out your coat from the closet next week. Forecasters calling for an Arctic blast of air from the East Coast. They say that's going to bring temperatures all the way down into the 30s across the panhandle. The temps expected, again, lows in the 30s, highs in the 50s for a couple of days. The first potential freeze for interior areas could also happen as soon as Monday night. Well, you can count on Governor DeSantis as one person happy with a change coming to Apalachicola Bay. Governor DeSantis saying yesterday he supports the FWC's decision to reopen commercial oyster beds. Oyster harvesting in the bay was banned about 5 years ago to allow for the oyster population to grow. The season will reopen January 1st. It'll run through February. DeSantis says Apalachicola's oyster industry has been the cornerstone of Florida's seafood economy for generations. He said no place knows oysters better than Apalachicola. Now, ECUA crews were able to isolate a water main break yesterday in the Ferry Pass area. That break was on a 16-inch line on University Parkway just to the south of Governor's Drive. The ruptured line was reported about 6:30 last night. Customers in that area began reporting their water had been restored within a few hours of that break. The 41st annual Frank Brown International Songwriters Festival is returning to the Gulf Coast and gets underway tomorrow. That'll continue then through Sunday, November 16th. More than 200 different performers and songwriters will be performing across multiple venues in the Perdido Key area. Escambia County's Real Change Project Reconnect program is celebrating a milestone. They've apparently now helped more than 300 people reunite with family members. The program is funded by Escambia taxpayers and provides eligible individuals and their families with bus or plane tickets to their chosen destinations. The Escambia Board of Commissioners recently increased that program's funding from $53,000 to $89,000 to expand assistance for those that are eligible. It is 6:34 News Radio. Let's get a quick check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson and Channel 3.
We are going to be starting off the day on the warm note. Temperatures in the 60s as you wake up. Going to be in the mid to upper 70s as you head into your afternoon. Mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64. For Friday, 20% chance of a stray sprinkle. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies. High near 78. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Keeping a tiny chance of rain around for your Saturday. Just a 20% chance of a stray sprinkle. Otherwise, partly cloudy. High near 78. Stay connected. Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 64 degrees. We've got cloudy skies. And let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Just one accident on the books right now, North Davis Highway and University Parkway. We've got no roadblock, but I'm starting to see some delays on Davis Highway, both northbound and southbound, just due to onlookers. Other than that, I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And now our a look at our pre-opening market report with Your Money Now.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices are moderately higher as weak demand, oil glut weigh on the market. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $60.01 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $63.86 per barrel. Eli Lilly said it will start late-stage trials on its experimental Amylin obesity drug next month after it showed encouraging results in a mid-stage study. The highest dose of the weekly injection helped patients with obesity or who are overweight lose more than 20% of their body weight, on average, at 48 weeks. The Federal Aviation Administration has announced it will reduce flight capacity by 10% at 40 major airports across the country starting tomorrow morning as the government shutdown continues. Officials added that international flights are exempt from the cuts. Officials did not reveal which airports would be affected. Futures are slightly higher. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 225, the NASDAQ up 151, the S&P 500 up 24. That's Your Money Now.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code COOL to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in today at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
This one is under the lights at Death Valley as Florida State battles Clemson in an ACC showdown Saturday night on the Seminole Sports Network.
FSU travels to Death Valley to take on Clemson. Last week, the Seminoles crushed Wake Forest 42-7 to raise their record to 4-4, while Clemson lost to Duke 46-45. The Florida State Seminoles versus the Clemson Tigers. Pre-game is set for 4 o'clock Saturday on News Radio 92.3.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Wes Moreno is the county administrator for Escambia County, and we got a meeting today, so we're talking to him about what's coming up. Wes, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. As always, it's great to be here.
Yeah, great. Great to have you. We got a lot of stuff on the agenda, a lot of very interesting things. Some things I don't understand, and that's why I like to talk to you, because I get clarification on them. But I want to start with one that's really become a sudden firestorm. And that is the company patches for the Escambia County firefighters. I'll tell you how I understand the story, and then you can tell me either what I got wrong or, you know, what I need to understand in order to understand it. The way it was conveyed by the firefighters on their Facebook page is, you know, we've got these company patches that are a very big deal for a paramilitary entity like the firefighters. Their brotherhood, their bonding, their meaningful, their identity expression, they're all the things that we understand. And suddenly, for reasons that nobody can quite explain, all of the trucks, all the engines had to be scrubbed of their insignia, their unique logos that represent their company. And it doesn't make sense to anybody, and it seems like there can't be a justification for it because they've been approved by the county, and some of them have been in place for decades. So it's the what gives. You're the county administrator. I know you know. Help me understand.
Well, I don't know that they're all going to be scrubbed. You know, this is an effort to we are reviewing all of our logos and brand standards, and we just want to make sure we're consistent throughout the county, and that, you know, what goes on the front facing side of a vehicle, whether it be a fire vehicle or a public works vehicle or EMS or anything else, we just want to make sure that it's in good taste and that it reflects the image that we want to portray. So it's something that's going to take place all throughout the county. We're reviewing all of our stuff. But, you know, to say that we're going to scrub every truck of everything, we're not saying that at all. But we review some logos. Yeah, sure, probably so.
Well, I was told that the trucks had been told to get rid of the logos.
Like, I had told the red flag at this moment.
I'm sorry, Wes, I had been told that they had been taken off. Like, they were told, get them off. And they were out there scraping off.
I didn't have a conversation until late yesterday afternoon, and that was not the direction. That they had to go out to the bays and start peeling off logos. That was not the direction.
Okay, so your direction.
I'll get into that this morning, but that was not the discussion I had late yesterday afternoon.
Okay, so your direction, properly understood, should have been: we're reviewing all of them. Take no action yet.
Correct. Yeah, we're going to review them, and we're going to take a look at them. And some of them may, you know, the majority of them may stay like they are. There may be one or two that changes, but, you know, that's how it is.
So it sounds like kind of the way I had heard it was that this was an effort to get rid of the company patches and replace them with, say, something standard for the county logo. But it sounds like what you're saying is we're fine keeping the company patches as long as they are not, I mean, I'm guessing because you haven't, but I'm guessing, you know, we're just concerned about maybe some content or something offensive or something like that, but you're fine with having company patches. Is that, do I hear you right?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. Okay. So you'll talk about that. I mean, you'll talk about it, what, at the meeting today, or you talk with fire chief, or, you know, what's the next action step here?
No, we'll talk about it internally with the assistant county administrator and the public safety director and fire chief.
Okay. Okay. Well, I mean, I look forward to hearing more about what happens. I just know the firefighters are furious. They are furious.
Well, yeah, I understand. I understand. If I don't blame them, I probably will be too.
And then sort of not necessarily connected, but they've in the same post where they raised this question or this objection, they were also concerned about the pay increase that had been approved and HR stuff had been done, but the budget office hadn't caught up. And so they missed this, or it's somehow delayed. Do you want to address that for a second?
Yeah, it's a bit delayed. Yeah, it'll be on the next paycheck. We'll try to make sure it's retro. it was a delay coming through the budget office. We've been a lot of things rolling through there, so there was a bit of a delay.
Okay. Hey, just to go back for a second, somebody texted me, and again, this may have been a miscommunication, but texted me a screenshot of an email from Chief Harrison saying, effective immediately, all company patches shall be removed from all Escambia fire rescue apparatus. This action is mandatory, must be completed as soon as possible. If you can't remove the decal without causing damage, please email, give a name here, to schedule a time to have it removed. And so, again, you just think this is a misunderstanding? This is a miscommunication?
I think somebody's got the horse ahead of the cart, or the cart ahead of the horse, and we'll get into it this morning.
Okay, great. I mean, that's, you know, sometimes mistakes happen, and I'd, you know, love to see them fixed. Fantastic. We're talking to Wes Moreno, our county administrator. Wes, hang on for just a second. We've got traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still dealing with that one accident on Davis Highway in University Parkway. Seeing some delays in the northbound lane of Davis Highway. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Wes Moreno, County Administrator. On the agenda for today, and you and I had talked about this before, that there is I think it's called the Consolidated Universal Bill or something like that, and it would put hard costs only for code violation remediation for homes onto the property tax bill. And when you and I last talked about this, I was kind of uncomfortable. I talked with my wife, and you're going to love this. My wife says, so Andrew, we're going to make them pay for the services the county has already provided to them as delinquent property owners on their tax bill. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, and the problem is, and I said, no, you're right. Is that the extent of this change? Is that the idea?
That is the extent of it. Yeah. Just an effort to try to collect money that we've expended abating some of these properties.
And it's not the, like, because I know the board often has these conversations about soft costs and fees and fines and things like that. It's not that slice. It's just the hard cost, the money the county has actually expended to give a service to these people who haven't done their job properly.
Correct.
Okay, perfect. That makes a lot more sense. The Navy Point Ordinance makes perfect sense to me that you want to prohibit building on Navy Point Park and anywhere within the plat. Makes perfect sense to me that you want to prohibit conveying or selling the land. The one that I genuinely looks unconstitutional to me is the requirement to have a unanimous vote in the future. I always thought that a board now cannot bind a future board. They cannot exert their authority to restrict the future authority of a board. I checked with Allison, and she seems to think this is okay. Can you explain this to me? Because I'm really confused by this one.
Yeah, well, as you know, it's an effort to preserve the park there. It's been well received by the community there in Navy Point. And the unanimous part is it is an effort to make a statement to say, hey, we want to protect this park. We want to, moving forward in the future, you know, we want to preserve the sanctity and preserve the feel and the look and of the park and the amenities there. And what future boards do, you know, certainly can't control what future boards do, but it is an effort and a sign to say, hey, we're serious about this and we want to make sure that it remains as is.
I guess my
concern has been run through the legal department.
Yeah, and I know my concern was sort of the philosophical issue, but also it seems like if you can do this, is there any limit to when you could do it? You know, could they put a 3-2 vote up for a unanimous rescission for almost any measure they wanted to make more permanent? It seems like the answer has to be no, or even if you have a 3-person quorum, a 2-1 vote could theoretically do this. And so you kind of see where I'm going with this. What are the limits of this power to require a universal rescission or unanimous rescission?
Well, I think it's a good effort. It's a good statement to the community and as a whole to say, hey, you know, we hear you, we hear your concerns, and we want to put this ordinance in place, and we want to make it as challenging as possible moving forward in the future to make any changes there at Navy Point.
There's a couple of items that have what seem like very minor changes to the current ordinance. One has to do with camping. It's removing the word overnight, and I'm assuming that's because verifying that somebody has in fact been there overnight in the car or the tent or the, you know, or whatever is hard. This is meant to make it easier to enforce that ordinance. Am I on the right track?
Yeah, it's easier. To make it easier to enforce folks who are hanging out in different meetings or camping underneath the bridge overpasses there along the interstate in Brent Lane. You know, they're there all night, and they're there all day, some of them camping, sleeping, doing whatever they're doing. So this is an effort with the Sheriff's Department to be able to put something in place to make it more enforceable and hopefully make some improvements in that regard.
Makes perfect sense. Also, they could say, well, I left for a minute. You know, was I there overnight? I mean, sort of the technical difficulty of that word. The other one is the panhandling ordinance, or the, you know, pedestrian safety ordinance. The current is that a median 6 feet or under, they cannot stand on that. You're proposing expanding it to 8.5 feet. I'm guessing, but you tell me, that there are specific medians this is meant to encompass, and I'm guessing it's Davis on the on-ramp to I-10, but maybe it's something else that you have in mind. First of all, am I on the right track, and is there particular ones this is to address?
Well, we have medians. All over the county that need to be addressed. But the 8.5 foot comes from the FDOT Green Book standards, MUTCD standard book, 8.5. And that's where that measurement comes from. It does give us a little more latitude in enforcing.
Gotcha.
Some of the other ordinances there.
And that's totally your bailiwick. Like, that's, you know, transportation, roads and stuff. That is West Moreno's absolute domain. I did want to ask, just because it's come up with the sheriff, and I know you guys are working on this, but the situation on Perdido Key with the beach access, and, you know, obviously, you know, the concerns, and it's an ongoing fight. And I know, you know, Commissioner Stroberger was in the mediation meeting that came to nothing. But the sheriff was telling me on Tuesday that, you know, it's hard for them to know what to enforce when nobody's clear about what the exact status of beach access is on Perdido Key. Any prospect of clarity in the near future?
Well, I think the latest development is the lawsuit has been dropped. You know, there was a lawsuit that prompted the mediation a couple of weeks ago. Well, that lawsuit has now been dropped this week, actually the day before yesterday, I think we were notified. So that's good news for us. So that what we feel like that means is that the strip going down from the parking areas, and then a strip 75 foot wide, 1.2 miles long, I think it is eligible for the public to utilize.
As of now?
You know, yes, as of now.
And that's from that beach access right off of Perdido Key Drive. That's that very first one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay, so they can go out there,
so
and then
like
they can.
It's like it was. It goes back, reverts back like it was when Commissioner Burgosh brought in water safety and we started patrolling that area down.
Yeah.
It'll be just like that.
Okay. Okay, so people are allowed to go laterally on the first 75 feet next to the water on those areas.
That's correct.
Outstanding. I mean, at least clarity. You know what I mean? I know that, you know, a lot of the owners are they're not thinking outstanding, but, you know, what I want is just a resolution. So, that's fantastic. I'm sorry, I seem like I kind of interrupted you. Anything else you wanted to say on that?
Nope, that's good.
Okay, fantastic. You guys did a ribbon cutting on a waterfront project?
Yeah, you know, we have a committee, Opioid Abatement Funding Advisory Committee, that we put together. And the money that comes through this committee and flows through Escambia County is from the lawsuits with the big pharmacies, big pharmaceutical pharmacies. And, you know, they've been quietly working and tolling away there. And we put notice of funding opportunities out to our community partners and those throughout the community. They bring in their ideas. They bring in their plans. They bring in their credentials and all the stuff they have to do. And Waterfront brought a project to us to purchase a house, or houses, actually, as it turns out, and then renovate the house and turn it into housing for men in recovery. And we cut a ribbon on that, I think it was Monday or Tuesday. And it was just a good deal, a good event to see that the fruition of the money and the work of the board come to fruition, and see that amenity come online. And I think in 2 weeks, I think they said it was, there'll be folks living there. And it's key. It's a key element to recovery, having a stable place to live.
Absolutely.
There's a church down the block. There's George Stone not too far from it. So there's some opportunities there for the folks that they're going to reside there in those houses. And it was actually two houses on one piece of property, a good-sized piece of property. And I think it's a good thing for the community, and it's something that quietly happens behind the scenes that the community doesn't typically see.
You know, I actually really love when we're able to tell the good things. I love talking about the opioid abatement work that y'all are doing through CORE. And, you know, even sometimes it's a little stuff, like when the county does a drainage project that makes life better, you know, on a street near us on Oakfield. You know, I was worried in the beginning, but that street has not flooded since we've had the, you know, the work done. So it's fantastic. And like, you know, I talked to the county about a pothole on Burgess, and it's an FDOT road. So somebody in the county called FDOT, FDOT fixed it within 24 hours. Like, I was amazed at how fast that was. So, you know, the good things, I'll talk about the bad things, but we'll talk about the good things, too, and, you know, the more of them are better. Anything else before we go, Wes? Anything else you want to let us know about either for the meeting or that the county's doing?
Well, we had an interesting story in regards to the SEC tournament. One of the teams got through playing the other night, and a drive belt broke on their bus. They were trying to get back to Pensacola Beach after the game, and four of our parks guys were able to crawl under there, and the driver had a belt. He just couldn't get it on. So they were able to crawl under there in about 20 minutes, get the team on its way to Pensacola Beach, and all things went well. So it's just the small nice things that you encounter in the day sometimes.
Beachfront living, competitive soccer, and on-the-spot mechanical repair to buses. That's we offer all
there
the services. Well, Wes Moreno, we're looking forward to the meeting today. It should be very interesting. County Administrator Wes Moreno, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for taking my some of my challenging questions. I really appreciate it. So we'll talk to you again soon, sir.
All right, we'll see you.
You bet. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Yes, still dealing with the accident that happened on Davis Highway in University Parkway. It's not causing any delays. I just wanted you to be aware of it. I-10, I-110 are still looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
Think all art festivals are the same? Think Foo Foo Fest in Pensacola isn't your scene? Think you've heard all the music before, or that local theater is predictable? Well, fool around and find out. If you think you're not up for random adventures, can't be surprised anymore, or don't believe you can make memories around every corner, fool around and find out at Foo Foo Fest in Pensacola, Florida, October 30th through November 10th, 2025. Visit foofoofest.com to learn more.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
I can fly.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
You can't.
Can't. I tell you, I could fly around this room with my eyes closed.
Okay, then, Mr. Lightbeer, prove it.
All right, then I will.
That's not flying. That's falling with style. 6:58 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And, I'm just really glad that the end result here is that we're going to, you know, be keeping the company patches, at least most of them. And if there's, you know, something problematic about one of them, we should probably address that anyway. So, you know, trusting in the outcomes. That's good. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. Some Senate Republicans say they think a deal to end the government shutdown could be close. The shutdown has now been going on for 37 days. It's the longest in history. Senate Majority Leader John Thune said yesterday that a mini funding package could get bipartisan support, and he says that is nearing completion. President Trump says Democrat Socialist New York City Mayor-elect Zohran Mamdani should be a little bit nicer to him. Trump called Mamdani's victory speech angry and said that he felt he should be nicer because he's the one who has to approve a lot of things that New York will be asking for.
Wait, so the angriest president in my lifetime is complaining that Zohran Mamdani sounds angry?
Yeah, that's about the way of it, yeah.
Okay. Cool. We'll be back in a minute.